You're listening to an audio message from Palm Vista Community Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit palmvista.org.
Welcome to Palm Vista Community Church as we conclude our Advent series entitled Christmas on High. It's a picture of Christmas from the perspective of the angels, and actually today is the final sermon on that, and it's really God's perspective, right? Christmas on High. How does God view Christmas? The title of this morning's message is A Light in Darkness, A Light in Darkness. So please turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 35. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 35. Have you ever been in darkness? Have you ever had a need for light? Once a year, I am guaranteed to be in darkness when I brave the cold wilds of South Florida in March and participate in our man camp. I actually go camping once a year. And it's dark. Did you know it's dark when you go camping? Eric, that's a new, it was a revelation to me because I never went camping until I met you guys. And all the guys now have these headlamps. You know what I'm talking about? You know those lamps, like the miners' headlamps? You know, I always love those things because someone will walk up to you at night and they'll say, "Hey, how you doing?" And they shine it right in my eyes, like. So, I need that light, all right? But I've also appreciated the need for light in this auditorium, in this very auditorium. And so, I want to warn you here for a moment. In a moment, all the lights are going to go out, all right? Don't panic, all right? They'll come back on, so hold the children steady. All right, let's not lose any children. But I want to give you a visual of what it's like when you're in total darkness and you need a light. So, are we ready, crew?
Ready.
Let's do it. Yeah. Now listen, and yeah, turn your phones off, all right? So it's dark, isn't it? And oftentimes I've been in here when it's that dark. And in that darkness, what's so nice is one little light. And it really does. It pierces the darkness, doesn't it? And if we all did this, if we all had our phones on, it would pierce the darkness. And it's a welcome relief, is it not? I've stumbled around through this auditorium using my iPhone as the light. You can turn the lights back on. Thank you. So, the message this morning is about the light, Jesus Christ, coming into the world, into our darkness. And I want us to read that in a moment. But before I do, I'm aware of this. Each one of us, to varying degrees, has some darkness in our lives. So it was pretty dark when we turned off the lights in here. If we had sealed up all of the doorways here and all the lights were out, I mean, it's really dark in here. I've been in here when all the lights are out in the whole building, and you can't see anything. I mean, it's pitch black, like you're in a cave. And there may be some of you this morning that are in that kind of darkness. The Bible would say that when we are apart from God, when we don't know God, we're in darkness. We're in darkness. In fact, one of the metaphors of conversion is that Christ takes us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And that may be you this morning. I don't know everybody here. And if you're not a Christian, thank you for coming. It's a privilege to have you with us. But you may be in that kind of darkness. And I'm praying that this morning's message, God the Holy Spirit would come and reveal to you Christ. As Corey mentioned, you would see him and God would bring light, much greater than this little lighter that I use today, but the blazing light of the glory of Christ. But for most of us, the darkness is just sort of like the lights are going dim, right? Like there may be an area in your life where it's a little dark. If you're married, it may be your marriage. It may be relationships in your life. It may be your career. For some, it's your health. For some, it's just in your mind. There's a darkness. You know that the holiday season can often be a dark time for people. I don't know why, but it just, you know, it could be dark, man. Maybe you just, I don't know, you realize what you don't have. You may have 1,000 presents underneath the tree, but there's some things you don't have. Maybe some relational things. There could maybe be a darkness in your character. There are some things that you're doing that you wish you weren't doing. There could be darkness in our communities. Lord knows we're aware of that, right? Crime, injustice in our world. So I pray that this morning that God would give you hope because Jesus Christ is this light in darkness. Jesus Christ is the light that pierces or dispels our darkness. Whatever darkness you are wrestling with right now, in a very real way, Jesus dispels that darkness. So let's read about that, shall we? Luke chapter 2, I'm beginning in verse 22. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. They would be Mary and Joseph, and him would be Jesus. This is probably about 40 days after the birth of Christ. Corey preached Christmas Eve on the birth of Christ. This is 40 days later in the narrative. Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So Jesus is the firstborn male. Mary was probably between 13 and 15 years old. He was born a virgin birth. She was not with a man. She was great with child by the Holy Spirit. But he was the firstborn male, so they were bringing him to the temple according to the law. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Ask yourself, what is the consolation of Israel? And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. I pray the Holy Spirit reveal this afresh and new to you if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, for the first time, the Holy Spirit would reveal to you who Jesus really is and what he did. And light would come into your darkness. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That's the Messiah. Christ is the word for Messiah. The Savior of Israel, and not just Israel, but of the whole world. And he came in the Spirit. So apparently the Spirit of God led him into the temple in Jerusalem. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the customs of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. What's remarkable here is that hundreds of people would bring their firstborn son to the temple. It was the law. And this is a little couple. She's maybe 15 at most. And they're very poor. They don't have enough money to bring a lamb in for purification of their sins, not Jesus. They had two pigeons, two turtle doves. Let's extract those two turtle doves from a meaningless, mindless song that we sing. And let's inform them with what they really mean. The sacrifice for sin for this woman who, because of giving birth and the blood that was involved, was impure. So they're coming to offer sacrifice for her sin, their sin, with Jesus, the one who would make that sacrifice 30 years later. And this moment is pregnant with meaning. Don't miss it. Wake up from your sugar-induced stupor, from all those cookies you had. So Simeon, God tells Simeon, he's here. He's one of these babies. I could just see Simeon, you know, walking into the temple. Beautiful place. Beautiful. And he's wondering, who is it? Who is it? Is it that wealthy couple with the lamb? How about that good-looking couple over there? Who is it? Maybe he even pulled, like the babies would come by, you know, and he like pulled the, let me see the face. And the Spirit leads him to a nondescript, totally non-impressive young poor couple from Nazareth, to a baby that we know from Scripture was not impressive physically. And the Spirit said, that's the one. Are you there? And Simeon grabs the child from Mary's arms. All right, moms, can you imagine you bringing your baby in? Some guy you don't know grabs your child. And he says this, verse 28. And he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, verse 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Remarkable words to say. That you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light of revelation to the Gentiles. That's going to be the main point here. And for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. Of course they did. Mary and Joseph were marveling. What in the world is this man saying over our little baby? And Simeon blessed them, and he turns and he says to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. The main point, I believe, from this text for us this morning is this. If in fact this child is who Simeon said he is according to the Holy Spirit, that if he's in fact the light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to God's people, if he's in fact the Savior of the world, I've seen the salvation is what he said, your salvation, God. My eyes have seen your salvation. If he's in fact the Messiah, then what God is calling us to do through this text in a crazy busy season, Advent season, is to worship him, Jesus, to trust him, his word, Jesus, and to proclaim him. I believe that's the main point for us this morning. Worship Jesus, trust Jesus, and proclaim Jesus. So let's look at the worship Jesus piece. Mary and Joseph came to worship God. We see this in verses 22 and 23. Look at them again with me. They come to the temple for their purification. So because of the blood of giving birth to a child, Mary is impure. According to the law of Moses, they brought him, Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Here's the difference, and you must understand this difference very, very clearly. They brought Jesus to consecrate him as their firstborn. They brought themselves to be cleansed from their sin. Don't get that wrong. Jesus was not brought to be cleansed from any sin. Jesus had no sin. That's why the virgin birth is so important. He was not born of man. His father was not Joseph. He was born of the Holy Spirit. Hence the sin that is passed down through men, starting with Adam, that sin, that original sin, never was attached to Jesus. So he came to be consecrated as the firstborn of Mary and Joseph. But listen to me, he came to be consecrated as the firstborn from the dead. That's what makes this thing sing. If you're not a Christian, all that means is this. 33 years later, Jesus would die on a cross for the sins of his people, having lived a perfect life. And 3 days later, he would rise from the dead, defeating the curse of death that began at the fall, at the very beginning of mankind. So he's the firstborn of the dead. So the firstborn of Mary is going to be the firstborn from the dead. And all this is God is saying, here, let's just certify that we're going to consecrate this right now. We're certifying this, okay? But secondly, they came to offer the sacrifice for cleansing. They wanted to worship God by offering the sacrifice for cleansing. As I mentioned before, they could not afford the sacrifice that the law mandated. On the screen, Leviticus 12:8. This is what they came to fulfill. Leviticus 12:8. And if she, the woman, Mary in this case, cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Mary and Joseph came to worship God by consecrating Jesus as their firstborn and by bringing a sacrifice for their sins. And one day, Jesus would make the once and for all sacrifice on the cross to atone for their sins. So their atonement sacrifice of the two turtle doves or the one pigeon is a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do on the cross. If you're not a Christian, that's the gospel. That's what I hope you see this morning, is not only the historical truth of what happened, but that Jesus Christ came to die for your sins because you're a sinner. And Jesus Christ lived the perfect life for you because you can't. And if you're a Christian, I come to remind you of that, and so that you get out of the performance trap and get back into the peace that comes from Christ's sacrifice for you. So they came to worship. Point two, Simeon trusted Jesus. What do I mean by that? If you look at the scriptures in verses 25 to 27, you'll find something amazing. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And then in verse 26, it says, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And then verse 27, and he came in the Spirit into the temple. Simeon understood that Jesus would fulfill the promise that every Jew knew was out there, the promise that God made, the promise of this faithful God that Corey alluded to during communion, that God would send a Savior, a man would be born to save not only Israel, but the whole world. He would bless all the nations through the Jewish people. Simeon knew that promise and believed by the Holy Spirit that he now saw the one who would fulfill that promise. Before we get on to the application point, let's look at the promises Simeon most likely was believing on the screen. Simeon's a Jew. He had this scripture in his heart. He's looking for the consolation of Israel. You see that? That just means the salvation of Israel. That just means Israel's in trouble. They need help. That's what consolation of Israel means. The Savior, the Messiah. And this is probably the passage he was believing and thinking of when he was waiting for this. Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 5. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her. By the way, this was written about 700 years before the historical narrative we're studying right now. Probably around 700 BC. This is when this was written. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. Her iniquity is pardoned, a sin bearer. That she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. Do you recognize those lyrics? Handel's Messiah? Messianic prophecy? The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it. Jesus is a light for the Gentiles, all flesh. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So he trusted Jesus because the Holy Spirit revealed to him who Jesus was. And again, it's just amazing. Nondescript couple, nondescript baby, hundreds of other couples in the temple during that time. It was, after all, Christmas. That was a joke, okay? Christmas hadn't been invented yet, all right, Jesus? Okay. But even if it wasn't Christmas, every day hundreds of couples would come into the temple to dedicate their firstborn son. The Holy Spirit brought Simeon to Jesus. Listen to me. It's the Holy Spirit that brings you to Jesus. Again, if you're not a believer, or maybe you just haven't been in church in a long time, and here you are. Here you are. Welcome, by the way. You're here because the Holy Spirit has brought you. And you'll understand this because the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. And the Holy Spirit brings light to your darkness in Jesus. Now, we must cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We must say, yes, Holy Spirit. Simeon went to the temple. Simeon made this wild proclamation, right? But he couldn't have made it if the Holy Spirit hadn't revealed it to him. I want you to get that. So what's the Holy Spirit revealing to you this morning? Do you trust Jesus? Do you trust Jesus? All right, point three. Finally, not only do we worship Jesus, who is the one who bears our sin, Not only do we trust Jesus, who is God's salvation, God in the flesh, God the Son. I love the Trinitarian aspect of this text. You have God the Father, who sent God the Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And you have God the Holy Spirit revealing God the Son to Simeon, to you and me. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all involved in this salvation. And so what does Simeon do? Having seen Jesus, because the Holy Spirit revealed him to him, he proclaims Jesus. He proclaims Jesus. And that's that wonderful proclamation that we read earlier. He took him up, Simeon, took him up, Jesus, in his arms, blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your God Israel. Jesus still must live a perfect life. I mean, I don't understand it either. Why would God come as a baby and then live for 30 years or 33 years, however long exactly Jesus was on earth, perfect, like never sinned for you and me, to fulfill what he commanded us at the beginning, to follow him perfectly, and then go to the cross and die naked on a cross, humiliated, and then rise again on the third day? Why he would do that to fulfill his promise to bring a Savior, I don't know. But it sure helps me when I'm tempted to doubt God. Because you want to talk about commitment? It's one thing to send someone else to save me. I'd appreciate that. God himself came to save me. Oh, friend, if you're suffering this morning, I pray you hear that and it would comfort you. Here's the deal. Simeon says, I trust you, and now I'm going to proclaim you. You understand that Simeon died long before all of this played out, right? I mean, Simeon's an old man. It's going to be another 30 years before Jesus begins his ministry. But he proclaimed Jesus by faith because the Spirit of God was upon him, and he believed what God said about his salvation. And in his proclamation, he points us to the cross. I want you to look at that. Look at verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. I think Simeon is prophesying the cross, though no one understood it. The cross was a mystery. No one understood it. But the prophets spoke of it in veiled language. I think what Simeon is talking about here, this fall and rise of many, is Isaiah 8, 14 to 15 on the screen. God's connecting the dots. 700 years earlier, Isaiah prophesies the Savior, the Messiah, is going to do this. And Simeon says, this is the one who's going to do that, the rise and fall. He's going to be pierced with the sword. Look at this, Isaiah 8, 14 to 15. He, I believe that's speaking of Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. And so Peter, the apostle Peter, 700 years later, and probably 60 years after this narrative that we're studying here at the birth of Christ, probably 60 years later, after Jesus has lived his perfect life, died his sacrificial death, risen from the dead, after the church has been preaching the gospel for a while, probably around 60-something A.D., Peter writes the following, and he's going to quote the Isaiah 8 passage that I just read on the screen, 1 Peter 2, and he's going to give us understanding of what's going on here. I think all these are connected. Okay, our narrative, Isaiah, 1 Peter 2, 4 through 8. Why are they connected? Because the whole Bible is the story of God's salvation. He promised it when Adam and Eve sinned against him, and he said, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the seed of the serpent. He promised it to Abraham when he said, one of your seed, you Hebrew nation, is going to bless all the nations. And the whole story of this Bible is the story of God's redemption. It is to be interpreted through the lens of Christ, the one of whom we speak. And Peter speaks of him here. As you come to him, Jesus, this little baby that Simeon held up, a living stone rejected by men. Remember, Simeon said he's going to be opposed. But in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. Corey alluded that today. We're the living temple today to be a holy priesthood. Why? Because we proclaim Christ. We represent Jesus. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture. Now, Peter is going to quote Isaiah 8. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. You'll never be put to shame, Christian, ever. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, remember Simeon talked about the fall and the rise of many? But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Jewish leaders rejected Jesus. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. See, I think what Simeon is pointing to here is Christ's sacrifice on the cross to atone for the sins of his people. He will be pierced, as he says to Mary. You will see this boy, this baby boy who's so beautiful, 40 days old, who we are consecrating before God, who you watch grow up, who never sinned, who never spoke a cross word, the only truly perfect one, and the greatest evil ever perpetrated was perpetrated against him because he went to the cross and died for a bunch of scoundrels like you and me. And he will rise again from the dead. And if you believe in him, you will be risen up with him. And if you don't, you'll be crushed by that rock. Here in your presence, listen, you can't be in God's presence without a sin bearer, because God's presence will rightly destroy you. Sinful man cannot be in the presence of holy God and live. Let us not fluff up Christmas. How beautiful and sentimental it is. The baby Jesus. No, God in the flesh. And apart from his life and death and resurrection, when we face God, it will be instant and right judgment. But because of Jesus, our darkness is turned into light and our judgment is turned into blessing. The curse is turned into a blessing. And at the end here, when Simeon says the thoughts of many, listen, one day Christ will return. Corey, again, thank you for sharing this. I'm so appreciative of that. Communion points to that day. One day Christ will return. Friends, listen to me. No hiding on that day. You will stand before him, and he will know exactly all that you've thought. All that you thought. Oh, that scares me. All that you've hidden. All that you've done. All that you haven't done. It will be exposed to him. It will be a great and a horrible day, because for those who know Christ, for those who fall on the rock and are broken into repentance and are given life and trust in his righteousness and proclaim him, he's going to say, I accept you based on Christ's righteousness. Whew. That's the gift of Christmas. Don't stumble in unbelief over Christ the rock. Worship him, trust him, proclaim him. In a moment, we're going to pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to join me. Here's the appeal. Jesus is the only light to dispel your darkness. If you're not a Christian, you're in the kind of total blackout darkness that we kind of sort of approximated at the beginning of this message when I turned off all the lights in here. You can't see anything. You know how disorienting that is? Total darkness. I mean, total darkness. It's very disorienting. And it's very disorienting. And Jesus is here to dispel that as the Holy Spirit reveals him to you. Oh, I pray that happened. But for most of us, the darkness is like that just depressing lack of light like if you live up north and the sun doesn't rise till 10 in the morning and sets at 4 in the afternoon, and when it's up, you can barely see it because the clouds are there all day. I lived in Germany for 4 years when I served in the military. Man, by about, you know, February, I was just, it was dark, man. And some of us are in the dark night of our souls, not because the sun's not rising and setting when we want, but because of our own sin, the sins of others, being betrayed by others, fear of the future. You're wondering how things are going to work out, hopelessness at home. Can I ever have peace at home? I'm physically tired. I'm physically sick. I'm dying. I'm depressed. I'm lonely. And Jesus comes and he pierces that darkness with his light. Because Christian, we can experience God's presence because of Christ's sacrifice. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that in the midst of this season where it's a little disorienting for all of us, I pray that you would give us hope. Lord, in our darkness, you would come, Jesus, and pierce it with your light. For those that are in total darkness, that you would give them light right now this morning. This would be the day of their conversion. They would make a profession of faith in Jesus. You, as Simeon said, this is God's salvation, my salvation. They'd repent of their sins. They'd bow their knee and receive your forgiveness in life. For those of us, most of us probably in this auditorium, where we have just a little darkness in corners of our life, maybe those that are wrestling with deep depression, those that are so hurt, they just had family over. Maybe family has already flown back to wherever they're going, and it didn't quite go as they had expected. It was hard. Some hard words were said. Or maybe no words were said. Estrangement. Lord, would you give them light? You will make all things new. That is the promise. And we hang on to it, even when it looks like all things are a mess. Lord, we come into your presence now together. Would you pour out your spirit upon us in Jesus' name? Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to find out more resources or see how you can donate to this ministry, simply visit palmvista.org. And be sure to subscribe so you can stay up to date with upcoming teachings.